This is Being Healthy with Dr. Christian Bramwell, discussing all things health, fitness, and wellness.
How's it going, everybody? Dr. Bramwell here from the friendly confines of Atlanta saying, what's up? How you doing? With my two great co-hosts for the day. First of all, my cousin, my brother in the family, Saeed Bramwell Gordon. Say hello to the people.
What's up?
Okay. And I also have my...
That's weird.
Also got Will. He is my brother from Atlanta, from another mother, though. Now he is about to get sworn in. Will, say hello to the people.
What's going on, everybody? I'm really happy to be here. Chris is a great guy, a man of God, a real moving shaker. He's had his hands in a lot of different areas, and he's just moving forward. So
let's do it.
Great to be here with you guys, and I'm happy Chris asked me to be here.
Nice. All right, guys. So to tell you a little more about the Doctor's Order podcast with Dr. Bramwell, I'm going to start off this podcast with a couple of light questions from Quora. So Quora, pretty much Yahoo Answers of sort of apps. So you ask a question, I answer it. And luckily for y'all, I got enough time to answer these questions. But being a doctor myself, I'm always interested in helping people with health. Then after that, we're going to get into our main discussion. What is the cost of being healthy? Is the food you're eating or not eating going to cost you up to hundreds of thousands of dollars along the line? It could, but more on that later. So first to start off, just let you guys know, as a resident physician, you have to end up doing a lot. So let me ask you guys this. Have you ever seen a baby being delivered, first of all?
No. Whoa.
Me neither.
In person?
Yeah.
In person, no. That's what I'm saying. No.
All right. Sorry, what about you?
Nope, never. And quite frankly, I don't know if I want to be in the room if I ever have a kid, but anytime I've brought that up to any person, they tell me I'm crazy, so I don't know if I'll be able to win.
I mean, that's a whole, you know, discussion. Okay. I'm definitely going to be in there.
Not even if your wife asked?
I'm going to be in there. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like your wife asked, you'd be forced to go. But
room.
But anyways, I want to give like a I gotta give a shout out to the ladies. First of all, that labor stuff is not no joke. So pretty much long story, to keep a long story fairly short, came into work, been there for a little bit of the day, and then one of my patients for the whole day, like everything's right. So for in order for a lady to give right, we have what's called the P's of childbirth passage. So the passageway is the cervix or the uterus. Make sure it's wide enough. And then you have another P is the pelvis. Make sure that the pelvis bone structure is wide enough to allow that baby pass. Then after the next P is the power, adequate contractions from the uterus. The uterus has to be squeezing properly in order for the baby to come down. So with all those things having to work together, it can take a while for someone to give birth. And one of our ladies, she's been laboring for 8 hours and hadn't had any progression. Because baby wasn't doing so well, had to do a C-section. So let me ask you guys this. Yes or no? Women are awake for a C-section.
I'm going to say no. Awake as in conscious?
Yes. Like if I was to say hello, they could say hello back. Yes or no?
Yes.
Saeed, what
yes.
You mean? Will yes. Says yes.
Yes.
During a C-section, is a woman conscious?
Yeah.
No, right? I mean, you're cutting her up.
Wrong. She can't. Yep. For the most part, likely to be conscious.
Of course, because you want communication. That's what I was thinking, because you want to know. You just want that person to be, you know, aware of their surroundings, be able to still talk.
Yeah, like, it's so. It's like, simple because, like, first of all, the anesthesia is called the spinal epidural. So pretty much, a trained anesthesiologist will go to a woman's back, stick a needle in the back of her spine where the nerves are, and numb the rest of her lower body so she doesn't feel a thing. So, yeah, so that's why. So that's why it's pretty crazy. And they can be awake and be all right. So that's what happened to this lady. But luckily, baby did. Luckily, I worked with a great attending physician, Dr. Jeffries. Baby was good. Mom was good. Healthy. It was a big baby, though. Almost a 10-pound baby. So no wonder.
Whoa.
So when everyone was talking about those peas, one of them was like the passageway. Yeah, I'm sorry. Like that was a big baby. So with a first-time mother, she had a tough go about it. But it's all good. Everything it worked out well, and it's good. So like that's one of the fun things about medicine that you think about is that you just see some stuff that is just truly like it's like you are honestly letting someone cut into you while you're awake. Like it's that sort of trust on the table there, and so it sort of makes you like crazy. Like I. You know, like people like me, like, you know what I mean? Just work, like, just an average Joe comes up.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
I'll take this job and walk in, and that's what I expected of you. So
I've told you before, we've had this conversation. I was like, you said you delivered like 3 babies this week. I was like, that's really crazy. Like,
yeah.
That's really wild that's happening, and it's you, and this is normal now. Not because you don't deserve it, not because you have more heart, just because of. The weight of it, the weight of it is a burden. Like it's a burden on you. It's a responsibility.
It's already literally right there spread in front of you, that responsibility. Like
it's a huge responsibility. Like
you got to catch that baby out of the womb somehow. But it's all good. Just don't drop the baby. You're fine. But at the end of the day, after the first couple of
months, don't drop that baby.
Don't drop it. Like you. Just don't drop the baby. Hold on to that baby like you're holding on to that football in the Super Bowl, man.
It's nowhere near. I don't think it's anywhere near the same.
Okay. So, I got to ask you, brother. What would you rather do? Drop your own baby at childbirth or drop the football in the Super Bowl?
This is a terrible question.
It is terrible.
I would spike the Lombardi Trophy before I ever let a baby slip out of my hands. Come on, man.
Dude, whoa! I was gonna say like it's just like the baby can recover, but that's only one of that Lombardi Trophy, man.
What if the baby, doesn't recover though? It's not worth it.
Don't say that, man. Of course the baby's gonna recover.
But you just what do you mean drop a baby like we're on the ground?
You know, just like you know, you just drop it like a few inches from the ground.
A few inches.
You just, you're on top of mommy, you just drop it back on mama. All right, that's not what I meant.
No,
I'm
sorry.
No,
you sound like the most casual parent the world will ever see.
Yeah, if I drop my child, it was only about half a foot, 6 inches. He's all right. Whoa, all right.
Okay. But you guys still think it's weird that if you guys go, like, to law and say going to courtroom, it's crazy not having someone's freedom on your hands, like, or if you guys not – like, you know what I mean? You don't think that's about as equivalent to this? Or you think, like, childbirth is something you just will not, absolutely cannot do?
I mean, both involve potentially lives affected. Well, both definitely lives affected. So, I mean, that's it, and to a great extent, right? Bringing in life, you know, childbirth, making sure the mother's life is intact. And then on the other side, in the legal, you know, from the legal aspect, you could have you know, defendant whose life is on the line, or who might get the death penalty.
Yeah, and you got to defend them no matter if they did it or not. Man, that's the crazy thing is, like, you could know that's like
everyone deserves representation.
Like, man, that's real. But you, at the same time, you just don't know, which is the thing I like about medicine. The medicine, like, I can know. You know what I mean? We're gonna figure it out. With like law, like it's so much harder because like you really have to put a lot more, like, you know what I mean? Just mental, logistical. Medical, it's more about knowledge and what to do if what happens. It's very, like, flow chart centered. Well, like, law, I feel like it's more, creative. Like, esoteric and creative. You know what I mean?
Have to craft, depending on, you know, the document or, you know, your assignment, you know, not only things that are credible but convincing. A lot of the times you have to put a spin on it and argue with your, you know, with your words in court or, you know, through words on the paper. But it's definitely.
Oh no! Like, yeah, like I mean, I'm just comparing apples to oranges at the end of the day.
Both fruit,
but both good fruit, but important fruit.
Classic fruit.
Yeah, classic. Ooh, classic fruit. That's a good one. But each year, I'm just saying, like, babies are crazy. Like, these moms, when they do it, like, I'm seriously, like, when that happens, like, I'm definitely going to have to buy my baby's mother, hopefully my wife, when it does happen at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah, for sure, absolutely.
My wife, something nice.
something. Not you like, get a push maybe gift. Maybe push like, gifts for the wives.
I mean. Not like, you know, $30,000 piece of jewelry, but you know, more expensive than a gift card at Target.
It's a $15 gift card. That's the worst you could ever do. She's gonna crumble that up and throw it away. And ask you to hold your child.
Not Sarah. No. Sarah would forgive me at the end of the day.
Oh no, absolutely. Okay. Not Sarah particularly, but that was a scenario I was picturing. Just true. The average, maybe the average response, but
okay. Yeah. All right. Let's stop messing around before I embarrass myself anymore in front of Sarah and answer some questions on Cora. You want to hear?
All right, man. And for the listeners, how can they find you on Quora if they wanted to send you a question?
So on Quora, I'll make it real simple. My name, Christian Bramwell, MD, and I'll be right there, my picture in a blue background. Can't miss it. I'm the best looking doctor on Quora.
Okay, wow. Man. And Quora
says
Quora spelled.
Says
Quora spelled.
Says Dr. Bramwell. Wow. Say that again.
Quora is spelled Q-U-O-R-A.
Yes, sir.
All right. So I guess we'll go into the first question. The first question from your Quora account is Anish Narayan. I'm really sorry if I messed up your name. What are some subtle signs to indicate health decline? What are some simple and general steps to be followed to prevent further damage to health?
Okay. I'll give you three right off the bat, my friend. Number one, real simple. Look at your clothes. If you have to buy bigger clothes, things are wrong. So bigger clothes can mean A, either you're eating too many calories, or B, you're not moving enough. Either way, you just got to go get at it. The second thing is if you're just more tired. Like, for instance, like you shouldn't wake up feeling tired. You know what I mean? That's not right. You should wake up feeling well-rested and want to get the day. So you start waking up feeling less tired, fatigued and stuff. That's not right. So that could mean low blood count, could mean depression, could mean could be your thing called your thyroid, a lot of things. So make sure you get checked out. And the last thing is just, is either your stool or your urine. Pretty much, how are you peeing and how are you pooing? If you're not peeing much and you're peeing like dark stuff, that's not good. If you're pooping and you're like, you know, it's like having to give labor just to have a normal bowel movement, that's bad. So look out for those three things. Those three things are the main things anyone can watch to keep their health up.
Okay. So those three things you said were if you're getting bigger and you got to buy new clothes, be careful. If you're persistently fatigued, like you're not able to, you know, get rested or feel rested, that's a warning sign. And then your urine or stool, I guess, is it the color or the consistency? Is that what you were saying?
I would definitely say it would be the amount. So like, for instance, if you're stooling, normally you should have a bowel movement about once a day is normal. If less than once a day is normal as well too, just it should be at least once every 1 or 2 days. You know what I mean? And also, if you really want to get into it, your poop should be nice peanut butter hot dog shaped. You know what I mean? They should be long and soft. That's how they're good. Like, they shouldn't be hard little pellets or loose. That's not good. So make sure you watch that. And your urine, just make sure your urine is looking clear. If it's looking concentrated, it means your kidneys are working hard. If your kidneys have to work hard, what does that put you at for, Will? I'm just joking.
Kidney failure.
I'm joking with you. That was a tough one.
What's the answer?
No, not kidneys, though. That's another good one, too. But if your kidneys are working hard, pretty much it puts you at risk for what's we called hypertensive glomerular sclerosis. So actually,
that was my next guess.
Yeah, right.
So in a regular people words, what would that mean?
All right. In other words, yeah, pretty much I just say your kidneys have to work harder. It can lead to pretty much your kidneys not working well. I should have just said kidney failure and left it out of that.
Okay.
I should have just.
All right. So the three we got are weight gain and, you know, needing to buy new clothes. That's sort of a sign, a warning sign.
Right.
Sleep issues, persistent fatigue.
Right.
Fatigue.
Sleep, waking up also, tired. That is a big thing.
Okay. And then also infrequent poops, funny looking poops, or very yellow pee.
Yep.
All right. So our Our next question comes in from Nelson Vedina.
Okay.
How is it that people are not eating enough fruits and vegetables? Is true while people don't need to supplement their diet with a multivitamin? Okay, let me read that again. I'm sorry, Nelson. It's not you. How is it that people are not eating enough fruits and vegetables is true while people don't need to supplement their diet with a multivitamin?
Okay, so first question, yes, people are not eating enough fruits and vegetables. About a third of America is obese. So, and besides that, around 50% overweight. So people are not eating enough fruits and vegetables, you know what I mean?
And I think Nelson's question was, how can it be true that people are not eating enough fruits and vegetables, but they also don't need to get a supplement? So if people aren't eating enough fruits and vegetables, why wouldn't they need to get a supplement, a multivitamin to supplement their diet?
Oh, okay. Good question, Nelson. Because honestly, a lot of foods we have are fortified with enough. So like even so, pretty much like folate, vitamin C, enough that it's fortified in like not good foods compared to healthy foods. You know what I mean? So necessarily, people can still get by not eating the healthiest diet. But I think it's people just trying to. I think Nelson might be trying to get his cake and eat it too. You know what I mean? You can't have it both ways. So you either gotta, you know what I mean? You gotta pick one. And I tend to say like people need to pick a healthy diet. It's all about what you eat. So I would say even if you're not eating vegetables and not getting a multivitamin, you're probably gonna get around the nutrients you're gonna get if you're gonna run into it. Unless you're eating fast food every meal every day. I hope no one's doing that, but I think you cannot have your cake and eat it too. Just eat healthy, call it a day. You'll be healthy.
Okay. So definitely eat whole fruits and vegetables, eat the real deal. But can there be a benefit, I guess, if you're not getting enough fruits and vegetables to supplement, or you're saying that there isn't really that much of a benefit with the multivitamins and the supplements?
I would say you're going to get enough of your nutritional values in a daily American diet. What's better for you is eating healthy, though. I think, as I said, I guess I just disagree with Nelson. Like, I don't believe there's a way you can get it both, but I'm just trying to sympathize with him.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we have Neil Kaczynski.
Okay.
Neil Kaczynski asks, what is the average stages of cancers found when discovered by the routine colonoscopies performed at 10-year intervals?
Okay. For the most part, fairly benign. So pretty much benign, I mean not cancerous. So pretty much like Will said, as you guys know, like as men, when we get 50, we're all going to have to get a colonoscopy. I've actually gotten one before for my, yeah, trust me.
Wow.
It's due. Yeah. I got ulcerative colitis, so with that, so pretty much it's an autoimmune condition, sort of like how lupus attacks the blood vessels. This one sort of attacks my colon. So I got to get it checked out every now and then. So the purpose of screening is that so we can catch polyps. So most of the cancers we find aren't even cancers when we find them. They're just non-cancerous polyps, what we call, you know, a benign. The more advanced cancers usually are not found unless people have not gotten follow-up or if they have some family or genetic history of cancer. So by doing the screening, we're catching cancer more so in its earlier stages before it becomes dangerous and nothing we can do about it.
Definitely.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. If you get your colonoscopy, for the most part, you should be cancer free.
Okay.
That's awesome.
All right. Well, hopefully, Neil, that helps you with that. Barry George is our next question. Barry asks, as far as science can prove, what is the healthiest diet?
Healthiest diet? So far, the diet I love the best is the Mediterranean diet. So the Mediterranean diet. So you guys know about Mediterranean food, right? You know what I mean? It's just like eating like whole vegetables, nice clean fruits, healthy, you know, these good grains. It's not about, you know, heavy meat. It's not about heavy cheese and greasy meat. You know what I mean? Like the American diet. You know what I mean? You're not going to find a burger in the Mediterranean diet. So like, you know, just, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm trying to describe it right now. Like, how do you guys describe the
Mediterranean diet? That's a pretty good description,
like,
man.
What place serves like the Mediterranean diet here?
A place like an establishment, like a restaurant. I'm not sure if one place serves it, but Yeah, it's just an emphasis on certain things, you know, as you said.
It's hard to describe. Like, usually people in America don't eat that good. Usually healthy oils, like just olive oils.
I think as a country, we eat a lot of processed foods, a lot of, heavily ultra-processed foods. Fast food is out there. I just think it's a lot of the way the food is made today.
It's not as good as definitely the Mediterranean.
It's terrible in our country. The way we make
getting that fresh olive oil on that capicola and all that good stuff.
Fresh olives.
Just fresh ingredients by the Mediterranean. We just get fresh from Target.
So the Mediterranean diet is similar to the pescatarian diet.
Okay.
The research that I've seen on the Mediterranean diet is that the life expectancy for those people that follow a Mediterranean diet, and what it, generally it's considered, it's assumed that someone following a Mediterranean diet is doing it because they're closer. They're in a community that relies mostly on fishing and seafood.
Yeah.
So it's sort of that it's a high fish diet. Lots of fruits and vegetables, very little chicken or red meat or any other type of fish. And there's been some research that shows that a Mediterranean diet leads to the longest life expectancy. But there's also some research that says, I think it's like the descendants of the Vikings are, you know, healthier and have longer life expectancies too. So, as a doctor, Chris, I'm sure you've seen stuff that, it's a combination of diet, genetics, like all sorts of stuff. But I think there's some research that shows that a Mediterranean diet or a largely fish-based diet is a pretty healthy diet. Whether or not that's changed recently, there's always new research. We'd have to go and look that up and, follow up with the listeners in the next podcast. But the Mediterranean diet, from what I understand, is largely a fish-based diet.
Okay. Yep. Oh, no, I'm looking at it right now. I was also looking at the Okinawa diet. I'm also seeing people from the Onaka region in Japan. They also have a long lifespan as well, too. Their diet, yeah, real quick, is mostly made of vegetables, then a third of grain, then 5% soy. So it's about 60% veggies, 33% grains, 5% soy foods, then 2% meat, seafood, and alcohol. Wow.
Wow.
So almost entirely vegetarian?
Meaning seafood 1-2%.
Vegetables. Oh, wow.
But here's the thing. When you think vegetables, a lot of the time you think very basic vegetables. Oh, I don't want carrots all the time. That's how everyone feels. But there's a lot of there's so much variety in vegetables and how you can cook them and how you can transform them. And, of course, different cultures have how they do it. Have a lot of different dishes, so I think it's great to.
I got that stir fry on deck though, Japan. Oof!
I mean, crazy seasoning sauces.
They probably got better here than we do. Like, I feel like here we just, it's just like not everything. Like, everything got good stuff here, but not like everything. You know, just got their own like little cultural thing that just takes us to the next level. It's Japan. They got that stir fry. They can make like some good stuff out of this. But yeah, stick to a Mediterranean.
A lot of other dishes too that can kill too, yeah, for sure.
Like?
Other Japanese dishes, is that what you're asking me? Well, not just stir fry. I'm sure there are other ones as well, yeah.
Probably like the nice sushi too.
Just in general, more than stir fry, but stir fry is one of them.
I love stir fry.
That's your favorite. It's close to your heart.
It's like, oh, I love stir fry. I was going as a kid. Oh. Parents would take me out to Kobe's. You'd get that imaging stir fry. Like, no, maybe not stir fry, but you know what I mean. Just like, it's amazing. Like, you know.
You loved it.
Yeah. Like, that stuff is good.
You were like, I had a great day today, journal. On your journal. We went to Kobe.
Kobe's was nice, Kirby. Man. I don't care what you say. I remember that.
No, it's fine. If you wrote it in there, you know what? Good for you.
But anyway, sorry to get off the subject, my friend. But just to keep going, like, yes. Like, if you want to get a diet, pescatarian-vegetarian combination is going to do it. But stick to the Mediterranean or the Okinawa diet, my friend.
Well, I'm going to offer a third perspective for a plant-based diet, which I have been a part of for almost a few years now. And so as you can surmise, plant-based just means, you know, a lot of things that come from the ground, or, you know, that come from trees, that are really whole foods. And that's where whole foods got the name from, the grocery store. Like, whole foods that are, when put together right, combined and done the right way, just are amazing. And it just takes a mental shift. You know, personally, I have been on a journey from no meat to
no meat. I still can't believe you do that, bro.
From no meat only at first, and Chris has been there the whole time. And I actually watched a film called What the Health, and my girlfriend actually told me about it and watched it. It was eye opening, and you know, I gave it a shot. I gave it a week with no meat, a few weeks, and after that, it just kept going. So that was the first step, and you know, emphasizing the process and the journey. And that was early on, and I was on maybe more Mediterranean diet, pescatarian diet after that, and okay. Eventually just wanted to try to cut a lot of it out. It's just some research I'm just reading about.
I feel you.
What's going on in the country?
We gotta have another talk about what the hell. There's some things I want to talk to you specifically about.
We'll come back with a whole
another time.
We'll come back with a whole another one. But for instance, I just want to highlight this. This is science based, med based, in a sense. So now we, as a country, we are allowing genetically modified salmon to be sold and be in production and be, and it's kind of weird, you know. Genetically modified plants are still not good for us, but plants to me are crossbreeding. It's the nature of kind of plants to me more. You know, I'm not an expert of botanist anything, but when you're talking about, you know, on the other end of an animal is now modified, this animal that we're going to eat it, I don't know about that. So things that I've learned kind of about fish, and not that all fish is bad. I think wild caught, if you're going to do salmon, is great. That's a really healthy, a component maybe of the Mediterranean diet. You know, healthy fish, really good fish. That was my favorite. Do miss that sometimes.
Fish is good. Like, I do like fish. I know it is definitely good fish for you. Like, you know, pork and red meat. It definitely is.
Yeah, the right type of fish.
What's a good fish? What's a good fish?
Any wild caught type of product is better for our bodies. I mean, farm raised fish that aren't genetically modified, though. They're normal fish, but they're farm raised. They're together. They're in these cramped. It's like, that's not healthy either. That's not the best. And when things are made for production, they usually don't, you know, or don't always come out the best. So anything wild caught is great. But I really love, fish has really great properties. So I was just on that journey, just kind of moved past it, and now fully, plant based. So I think that's another option. And I think the benefits. Just those benefits. Dr. Bramwell, as you would know, we were just talking about Chris and I diabetes a minute ago, and how certain foods can help. Type 2 diabetes, correct, is a very, you know, curable type of ailment, type of disease, right? Because if you change your diet,
you can
change your you know, your health, and you won't need it, right? So
change your diet, change the world.
Change the world. I mean, I think that's a great tagline, absolutely. So just diet plays a huge part. And I think just putting good things in our body, trying to get organic products if we can for those things that have like small, thin layer of skin, like apples or maybe berries, grapes and things like that. Try to get those organic things that are kind of thicker skin, like bananas, oranges, even mangoes, you know, those don't need to be organic. So trying to pick and choose, you know, what's good for our health, and just trying to be conscious, putting good things in our bodies. It's really,
all right.
Should help you, you know, feel better and change the world.
Absolutely. We'll get back on that, man. So we'll talk about what the health in that later segment.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure.
Sorry, real quick. How many more questions of Coral we got left?
Just one more from Maureen Benner.
All right, Maureen, we got you. What's your question?
Is asking about the keto diet, which I know we kind of went in depth on last week.
Uh-huh.
Her question is, what is the targeted keto diet and what makes it different from the typical keto diet?
Okay, good question. So, Sian, like you said, I know you had experience like with the keto. You said when you did keto, you lost a lot of weight, right?
No, so my mom is following the keto diet. She's lost a lot of weight. I have carb cycled before, which is kind of, I guess it's kind of like keto in a way, but it's not all in with keto. Carb cycling is some days of high carbs, some days of no carbs, high fat, whereas keto is just almost entirely zero carbs and a high fat, high protein diet.
Okay. And did you like it?
Carb cycling? Nah. No, okay. I wouldn't say so. I do think, depending on the person, keto can be beneficial. But I don't think keto works for me.
Okay. So pretty much, you know, with keto, the idea is that you're going to protect your body from, you're going to protect its body from, instead of burning, you know, what am I trying to say here? Man, I just got slipping. All right, start over there. 1, 2, 3. So with the keto diet, the idea is that you're gonna burn through your body's glucose and start burning your body's fat stores called ketones. That's why it's called ketoacidosis. So your body's in a state of ketosis. You do not eat carbs.
Mm.
You guys get the point, right?
Needed that breakdown, doctor.
Yep. So the targeted keto diet is a diet I'm actually a fan of. I'm on healthd.com. Again, that's healthdy.com. I got an article telling you about my perfected keto diet on why I think it's not just about it's not about having carbs, period, guys. It's about having the right carbs, dang it. You know what I mean? Not all carbs are created equal. I'm sorry. Unlike people, all carbs are not equal. A donut's not the same thing as like, you know what I mean? Like a zucchini squash. You know what I mean, Will?
Oof, a zucchini squash.
We know which one's better, though, but we really know what the deal is.
I don't like zucchini or squash. I don't do those.
Okay, you know what I mean? Something healthy. You know what I mean? It's like a big old thing of like sweet potatoes compared to a donut. You know what I mean? One that's clearly healthy for you, one's tastier, but yeah, it's like that sort of thing. So the targeted keto diet,
got it.
Again, is you just add more quality carbs. So technically they're saying your body's not going to be in a state of ketosis like regular keto diet.
Got it.
That's why there's a difference between the two. You know what I mean?
Got it.
So with that difference, there's like a fringe. So people are saying like you can eat sweet potatoes. You know what I mean? Eat like whole veggie carbs, like, you know, zucchini, squash, pumpkin, all this weird stuff. And, not weird stuff. You know what I mean? It's good vegetables, but all the veggies glad that you're not supposed to eat on a – I'm sorry, guys. as you can tell.
I'm going to bring them over to you.
As you can tell, I'm not well. But anyways, with these more veggies, like you're eating carbs, yes, but they're better carbs. So with this combined with your keto, you're eating cleaner overall and you're exercising a little bit more, you should lose weight, which makes sense to me. You know what I mean? You don't need to go like friggin' balls to the walls. Let me just eat just no carbs at all. I think that, you know, it could be sort of unsustainable at the end of the day. Like, can you guys imagine never having like a bit of milk for the rest of your life or anything like that? You know,
what type of milk?
Anything with sugar in it. You know what I mean? Even like milk. Almond milk, soy milk, regular milk.
Have a little sugar in it. Yeah. You can make your own milk, first of all.
I don't want to do that.
But second of all. I mean, you can make your own milk out of cashews. If you want to do cashew milk, or you can do other types of milk. So you can still get that cream and sugar. I promise. Ooh, that richness.
I feel you, bro.
Rich, right over the frosted flakes.
I feel you.
No, I don't know.
Anyways, So the answer to your question, targeted keto, it's a better diet I like, more sustainable, and you're going to be eating some carbs and not completely hating your life. So I highly recommend the targeted keto.
Okay. All right.
That does it for the five core questions. Did you want to go into now the cost of changing your diet, to healthier alternatives, or did you want to discuss something else with Will before we go into the main topic?
All right, guys. Welcome to the main discussion. I got Will Hill over here. So just to give you guys some more background on Will, we'll say hey again real quick.
How's it going, everybody? It's Will Hill. I'm happy to be here.
So this guy right over here is about to get sworn in, graduated Emory Law School class of 2018, correct?
Yes, sir.
And then before that, Morehouse class of 2015?
15? Got it. 15,
all right, got that right. Then right now, gonna get sworn in, about to be Esquire. But Will has had like a story about healthy eating. So the main topic we have, and why I want to include the Will, is health and healthcare. Is not eating the right thing costing you a lot of money down the line, you not even know it? A lot of money down the line, I mean money in healthcare, but personal money out your pockets. Is it really that well? Will, tell the folks about your story. I want to hear how you came to the decision where you started off. Is that cool?
Absolutely. I was introduced to probably a different style of eating and health through my mom. She's a health consultant. Great plug for the mom. Life 550 it's coming soon. It's here. And so look out for that. So just a plug. And she's been on her journey for Nomi for years at this point, years, way years before me, and a good amount of years before me. And she's the person behind the initial flame. But at that time, you're in college. I'm not really thinking about my health. I'm like, all right, mom, cool. Talk to you later.
I agree with you.
But as you grow and as you mature, and as you start to really read more for yourself, learn more, you adjust and you kind of change some things. So
get better.
Get better. So
gotta get better.
That was the initial flame. The recent flame, my girlfriend told me about a film, What the Health, on Netflix. I watched it, changed my perspective on some things and kind of gave up meat and, just meat initially for, it was a week and then it was 2 weeks and really kind of took a week by week, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And then I just never, kind of made up my mind like, oh, I feel better. I don't feel as tired. Yeah, I don't
feel.
What
was the first thing you felt?
I didn't. Well, what do you mean the first?
What was the first thing? Like you said, like, and for instance, like the couple of things I saw was like.
It was right after Thanksgiving too, so we just ate a lot. So
okay.
This was like the day after, or maybe Thanksgiving. So I was like, I don't want any of this. So that's how it started out. I was like, I'm gonna give it a shot. I was, feeling that. But yeah, I think the immediate effect was
tiredness.
Less fatigue. I would say less fatigue, like. That was a big component. Just felt a little more get up. And I was still doing a good amount of seafood but I could just tell that, that's what allowed me to kind of just keep going on Mika, so that's seafood. And after that, gradually kind of learn more and just wanted to say, okay, maybe I can try this. I love, like wild caught, sockeye salmon, like that's my favorite. Put it on the, on the pan, on the stove. Oh my gosh, get a good sear. Amazing.
Sockeye, I can't say. You never made me any sockeye, man.
Nah, I can't do it. I got you one time, but.
Okay, so keep going. So you felt less tired. I'll say you dropped a lot of weight. How much weight have you lost total?
I'm not sure, man. Not sure at all.
Well, you know, man.
I promise.
You know.
I promise. It really wasn't about.
He's lost 5 pounds.
I mean, if he's looking at his eyes, here's the thing, like, it really wasn't about, I really wanted to feel better, just to feel a little more, like, give it a shot, I want to feel more energetic. Like I said, it was just right after Thanksgiving. So you've eaten a lot, you're like, oh man, and I'm like, damn, I wish, like, maybe I'll just try it. So, okay. You know, I just gave it a shot, and I think people would feel just, you know, less weighted down, just have a little more energy, especially when you give up meat. Just kind of substitute it and take your journey, you know. And however it goes, if you stay vegetarian, that's great, you know, with more Mediterranean-based. You know, it does, one style doesn't fit everybody. But I think it just can be proven that.
Okay. You know, thinking like this.
A good diet, putting good things in your body is.
So you're willing to stand behind this. You're willing to stand behind this full-heartedly, saying that pretty much like, you know, like, not like, you know, you're not eating as much processed foods, heavy meats. It's not as good for you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Processed, yeah, that's a totally, I think we can all agree. Processed foods taste amazing. But
amazing. You never had bacon before, bro?
Oh, my God. So amazing. But they're just terrible. Or like, say, ultra-processed food is like a pepperoni Hot Pocket, right? Ultra-processed. Like, that's like, they're so good. Or pizza rolls. Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, those were crazy, but they're just terrible for our bodies.
As a kid.
Ultra-processed. And there have been, there was a woman who, unfortunately, developed a type of stomach ailment. I'm not sure if it was cancer. I believe it might have been a type of stomach cancer. Listen, from eating, this is kind of related to the type of processed food, ramen. Like, don't you know the old ramen? The dry ramen that comes dry, comes with a packet of seasoning, the classic one, right? Either the ones in the styrofoam, the one that comes in the paper, those are terrible for our bodies. And she ate it over and over and over for years, only about 2-3 years. And then, she, like, daily, like, that was her meal. And it ruined her body from the inside out. And it's really sad. It's really sad.
I can't see anything here which proves that a Harvard study has shown inconclusive evidence.
About processed foods?
Yeah.
Well.
Oh, wait. A boy who ate instant noodles every day dies of stomach cancer? What is this? What?
I believe this is
according to a boy in Taiwan.
What I was talking about.
He was 18 years old.
He was a student, right? Yes.
He had instant noodles night after night, and apparently his symptoms worse when he got checked out. He had stage 4 stomach cancer. People, stage 4 cancer is pretty much it's over. Like the fourth quarter's, it's like 2-minute warning in the fourth quarter. You know what I mean?
Let me tell you,
stage 4 is not a good sign.
Let me tell you, my grandmother in early 2015 was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma, right?
Lymphoma? Okay.
Stage 4. And after you said that, and she, one, is here today. She's alive. She's well.
Uh-huh.
And we're so thankful to God for, you know, bringing her, you know, through that. It's a huge challenge. We brought her through. And here's what made me a believer in a plant-based diet. We got the diagnosis, trying to gather and just think and kind of process. And my mother, who's old, I told you, been on her journey.
Yeah,
she did her research, and we switched my grandmother's diet fully processed, free of processed food, anything bad. Just we're doing a lot of juicing, straight fruits and vegetables. I'm talking straight plant-based, nothing not plant-based, everything.
Okay.
And
well, first of all, tell me where you come from.
St. Louis, Missouri. Yeah, so this is all happening in St. Louis. And she, out coming from stage 4, they couldn't see the cancer maybe about halfway through chemo. So it was gone. And I believe the plant-based diet had a lot to do with it.
Uh-huh.
The way we were attacking it. And from that angle, and you can talk about it from a scientific point of view, what cancer cells thrive on. And I believe one of the things they thrive on is sugar.
Uh-huh.
Correct?
Uh-huh.
What else?
Sugar. They like, I said, anything that feeds them. So they like food. So glucose is one. That's really all. Like, as far as
one. That's the big one.
Yeah, because cancer are just regular cells. Cancer are just regular cells that grow out of control. So they still eat stuff regular cells do, but at a much higher rate.
And that's why they're so if you take glucose away, take the wrong foods away.
But you're not going to take glucose away completely. You know what I mean?
You won't take it away completely. But if you're doing whole food, if you're eating, but think about this. If you're eating whole foods, Whole foods.
Glucose is sugar, I mean. But you're eating whole foods, what?
I don't think that you're going to have yes, okay, well, I don't know the glucose level that's going to come from eating cauliflower, right?
It's
not going to be so high, but my...
Tell you, not as high as eating, like, candy, you know what I mean?
Of course, and so that's going to do your body better, and I believe that's what happened with my grandmother, who is here to this day, and we're thankful. Wow. So, yeah, man, and we changed her diet, man, and it immediately made a difference, like...
Stage 4 lymphoma.
And they were, and, you know, we just...
All right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I forgot you told me this, man. Like, it was a while since you told me. But besides that, I would say, like, well, lost weight, feeling better, helped people in your life. So let's talk about this in relation. What do you in healthcare? So, all right. So, Saeed, you got any? So, you are the master of arms here. You got any lead off points you want to start off with, or should I just start here and ask you guys what you know?
Well, I mean, I think with food and healthcare, and the primary purpose of the podcast is to discuss the way healthier food can make your life healthier, but generally improve your life. And I think, you know, over the last couple of years, there's sort of like a fitness bubble going on now where we see everybody trying to get like six packs and stuff like that. But there are some people that are really focused on health in general and not just, I guess, the aesthetic aspect of it. So we are starting to see some of the benefits of, you know, research and even commercial efforts. Like you mentioned last week, what was the company that the vegan burger company? Impossible Burger.
What were you saying on the stock? Are we talking about stock market went public recently?
I know the company was named the company's named Impossible Foods. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. That was the one that Chris was talking about specifically last week, because they may end up making a push into Burger King and some fast food restaurants as a vegan option.
Already in Burger King.
Yeah.
They are?
Yeah, they're here in Atlanta too. Oh my, they're right here.
Yeah, the Impossible Burger, yeah, they've that relationship I think will be very fruitful for both of them.
Bright House, Midtown.
Here's the thing, Impossible Burger can only be found at restaurants and establishments. Beyond Meat is a great brand that I really stand behind and hopefully get into, you know, see how it works. I mean, it's been popping so far on the market, so maybe should have been in there, but it's a great company. So Beyond Meat, you can buy at the stores. I've had the burgers. I think they're really good and not like bad, you know, substitute. It's a really good plant-based substitute. So Chris has had one of those before. I don't know if you remember, I had one. I had Ash, and I was like, yo, you want this? It was that burger that one time was kind of crispy.
What did I say? Did I say yes or no?
You said it was really good.
Okay, cool. That sounds like something I would say.
Because it was. Okay. Yeah, definitely. So
okay.
Beyond Meat is a great brand, but Impossible Burger.
I just can't believe it's all out here. I was like that. So pretty much you're saying these brands, like, can be as good. And how much do they cost? How much does like an Impossible Burger cost compared to a regular burger? I'm asking you.
I'm not sure. I haven't been to Burger King to see the price point.
About $1 more on average.
Okay.
That's
not terrible. And
which we could use it. As I said, like,
it's better for people. It's way better for you than beef. Like, it's way, especially the beef at Burger King. I don't care how much you think it's flame.
Broil, delicious. Oh, it's so good.
Yo, I don't care how many times they say flame broil. You're not about to finesse me.
So the King's fine trying to pull a tricky one on you.
He's trying to pull a tricky one. I'd much rather go to Impossible Burger route. Give me some of those lightly seasoned fries that you guys have. And I might think about it, but I haven't been there. I have had the Impossible Burger at a vegan spot here in the city. So I think it's great. I think people should enjoy it. And just try to, even if you want to continue to eat meat and have that in your diet,
but
just
incorporate. But it's more expensive, like, though. You
know? Like that dollar more? For instance, it is more expensive.
If you want to take a number, how much do you cost a year? You think it costs to eat a healthy diet compared to not? Sorry,
how much more?
Yeah, how much more? Sorry, please go. What do you think? How much money?
That's a challenging question. So I generally don't eat out too often. I usually cook all my food. And
which you're making me feel bad. All right, Slide, you can't answer the question. You're making me feel bad.
Well, no, I think if you're talking about groceries, I think there's a way. Usually it's going to be a little more expensive, especially if you're feeding a family. But there's a way to eat healthier, like fresh foods, real food. You know, plants, fruit, vegetable, you know, fresh meats. There's a way to eat like that where it's not necessarily going to kill you. But I think with so many Americans working extended hours, I think I saw some research that said the average American works 50 hours a week, you know, not even 40 anymore. It's 50 is average.
Wow. Wow.
Or like, it's like 47 hours, basically rounded up, it's 50. So you're going to have a lot of people trying to buy stuff that's a little bit faster, easier.
They're still stagnant right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. People are working just to still just barely get by. Like, the average person. You see, it's part of the gig economy, right? You might be driving 15 hours of Uber.
The answer was $550, according to Harvard Public Health. Yeah, per year.
To eat more healthy at the grocery store, like if you're buying groceries?
Yeah, $550 a year. About $1.50 a day, $1.50.
I think if you're in a middle class situation, $4.50 a month extra on groceries is doable.
More, not $4.50.
Yeah, I'm talking about $1. It's $1.50 a day. So average that's about $450 a year. So it's about $60 more a month to eat healthy, roughly.
I'm about to get out this calculator. No, I'm
I thought you said $1 a day extra.
Yeah, $1. No, I said $1. I said $1.50. You didn't. Dude, I was trying to say
$1.50.
I was trying to say with that cool accent. You didn't get it.
Oh God.
Okay, so 40.
Please don't do it.
$45 extra.
Yeah. So as I said, total $550 a year to eat healthy for a year
per
person. If you have kids, that's about an extra $1,500 a year.
Woo. I was just thinking about that.
Because it's a lot of people have kids.
A family of five, three kids, or a family of four, that's still a lot on groceries. It's a lot on groceries.
It is. And I was surprised to know, because a lot of people with kids tell me they don't have any money. Just because, kids are expensive.
You got it. Clothes, food, activities. God bless the parents out there, the good parents.
Yeah. It's crazy. It gets out there. But it costs money. So I don't blame you guys for like wanting to spend on that. So it costs that money.
It's investing in your health. Like, the return is amazing. The return is amazing, but a lot of the times people don't have that choice, right? You might not have that extra. A
lot of barriers to health, my friend.
You might not have the extra money.
A lot of barriers.
That's something we need to work together to solve, because people will need healthy dishes without no money.
Yeah, it's just hard to. Also, you guys ever heard of a food desert?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Please explain.
Yeah, food deserts are pretty much, it's a certain area where there's no option to healthy produce or vegetables. Coincidentally, found in the hood, where there are a lot of liquor stores next to gas stations, next to laundromats, or other liquor stores. It's crazy.
Well, actually, you don't want to just limit it to the hood. So in rural America, there are a lot of food deserts as well. It's actually, there's some research that for some reason, I guess Dollar General is sort of being blamed by some people as a rise in food deserts in rural areas, because whatever rural area is being hit hard economically, we'll see a rise in the number of Dollar Generals. And
they're predatory as fuck.
Yeah, I mean, so you do have, and Dollar General is sort of expanding to be like a Dollar General market in some places, but for the most part, rural areas only have the traditional Dollar General that has, you know, some packaged foods and, you know, maybe some bottled water and some milks and stuff like that. So you do have any low income is that is susceptible at risk to have to become a food desert or struggle with that issue.
Good for mentioning that side.
That's amazing, man. I appreciate
that. I remember I heard about Dollar General, like they're hustling out there, but it's not crazy. anyone can do to stop it. You know what I mean?
They said, "My hustling baby, I want you to know." For real boys. But yeah, so while the food deserts are absolutely a barrier to people being able to put good things in their body, good food in their body, better foods in their body. So It's something that is being childish.
It would too, but do you guys think choice plays a matter of it? You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, you do choose what to put in your mouth. Albeit, people aren't maybe educated what's truly good for them. They're just seeing what people are eating, what's easy. But you think at the same time, like, I say, because I said to myself, like, I choose not to eat healthy at times myself, too. Like, I'm not perfect, you know what I mean?
No,
like,
I'm not you. I'm going to eat that. Oh, I'm definitely not perfect. See, the thing that I indulge in is I just indulge differently. Like, there's still, like, ice creams. Like, for instance, like, So Delicious is an amazing brand. Wow. Coconut-based brand. So they have coconut ice cream. Really good.
I hate coconut.
Though. No, when I tell you it doesn't taste, you just got to give it a shot. It tastes like normal ice cream.
Are you going to buy me the ice
cream? It's super creamy. We can make it after. I have a focus verb on my hunt. We can maybe walk over there after. You know, we'll see what's up. But
all right.
I'll think about it. In general, there are some, you know, other ways to indulge. But guess what? Right now, you love the bacon. It's cool. You might feel like different, you know, 5 years from now, right?
Uh-huh.
10 years maybe. And maybe you never, and it's okay. Like, I think, but incorporating at least like an Impossible Burger. Okay. And you're, you know, trying some different spots, you know, oh, let's try this vegan spot. Like, even if you're incorporating more things, just adding it into your life instead of, you did not, you know, take
everything. I have, man. Like, thanks to
my. I think that's the first step. I think that could be the first step, right?
I promise. I have been good, man. I still eat healthy. My favorite
you do,
spot.
You know, no, you do, you know.
For the most part, I'll say. My favorite spot is this Indian, like, vegetarian spot.
A couple of my classmates
introduced me to. Third year of medical school.
Oh, my
finished
God.
Finished my psychiatry rotation, so we went to this Indian
love
spot.
It. Oh, I love it.
And then, like, I went there. I was like, there's no meat. Oh, this is going to suck. And then I got, like, this potato, like.
Oh, like, I already know what you're talking about.
This is too delicious. And it's a buffet.
So the potatoes. Potatoes are really key, yeah.
But that was, like, well-cooked food. You know?
Well-cooked food. I mean.
Patel Brothers, I believe, over on Church. So I don't know if I want to include endorsements or not, but you can't just take that out. Anyways, yeah, eating. But
it's so good.
But yeah, any.
You've already thrown a lot.
But.
Free pub.
Free publicity. But anyways, we'll be
charging next time.
For the cost of, but you think, but I know people can't afford it right now because you said wages are stagnant, you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, inflation's only going to go up and up in the future.
But wages are stagnant and you have everything costing more. So people are struggling. The average person is working more as, say, you said 50 hours a week. Maybe you got a 30-hour job, maybe a 40-hour job, maybe you do 10 Uber, mm-hmm. 10 with, you know, a tackle or a side gig type of, you know, avenue to make money. And you're doing that to make shit. And you're doing that to make it happen, right? So, you know, I think it's important to just, you know, at this point, try to incorporate some things and can't make a huge switch. Like you said, it takes money, right? You said $550 a year. It's more money, and people $40 could be. Like, the difference between a month, you know, keeping your daughter's soccer
American
going, man. Keeping their lessons, who knows, and you need to save the rest of it, you need to really do this.
So, what do you think the average American income was, according to?
I think food is worth the investment, though. I really do.
I'll go.
What's the question?
What is the average? How much do you think the average American makes?
I'm going to say you go first.
Right?
$35,000.
The average American, correct, makes?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say 32.
32. Okay. So, I got it broken down according to age bracket here. For our ages, in between 25 to 34. Well, you're not 25 yet, are you?
Yeah, I'm
26. Oh, true. My bad. All right, 25. The average is about $40,000 a year annually.
25 to 40.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay.
But this is like
the average American, though. That's everybody. So you got to put everybody. We didn't say age groups.
I'll clarify next time. Anyway, this is from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. You know
that makes sense, though.
Doesn't get any better.
The wages should go up. Yeah, when you get old, you should.
I mean, the difference is from 20 to 24 is 27,000.
That's the average, though.
When you go from 25 to 34, it goes down to 40,000.
Yeah, that's a bigger bracket. Yeah, because you're getting into your area. Charging for services, creating value.
So, for the most part, if you have kids, though, like, this ain't nothing. You know what I mean? You have family, kids. Oh, like, it all adds up. So it's really hard to spend the money. But
taxes.
Taxes, you got to pay taxes. Like I'm saying, like, taxes, you don't have to pay a lot of taxes.
Taxes are one of the impediments to building wealth. And when you're trading labor for time, you're getting taxed on that, you know, income, when you're income, right? And that's, those are a lot of taxes. And families, you know, get some good tax deduction when it's tax time. Tax laws kind of really restricted some things. And, you know, the new recent tax law. There's a lot of layers to it. But a family on that, family of four, maybe.
Yeah.
Family of three.
With about, say, an extra $6,000 a year, helping. Not bad. But not
you need an extra 6,000?
Yeah.
6,000? Wait, where did that 6,000 number come from?
If you have a family of four. 15.
Are you most?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Nah, my math is off. So we get about an extra $2,000 a year. $2,200.
And, you know, it's not everyone can afford that.
Yeah.
But it's an investment in, I think, families, communities. Now, Chris, do you know anything? Can you tell me about, like maybe what that costs America, like, you know, as a whole? Like,
yeah.
Maybe, like, as far as the cost?
So, pretty much the cost. Pretty much in general, healthcare costs about 3.5. You want to guess? Is it a billion or a trillion? How much does healthcare cost the United States last year? 3.5 trillion or 3.5 billion?
Well, the fact you gave trillion as an option says it's probably trillion, right?
Hey, you're a smart guy, Sai. Smart guy.
Wow. 3.5 billion is really not that lot. It has to be a trillion. Yeah.
3.5 trillion, yep, total spend.
In healthcare?
In healthcare. Pretty much the biggest diseases are diabetes and heart failure. So to our audience, again, on healthby.com, I talk about what articles were to prevent heart disease and diabetes. They're two of the main killers in America. Number one is heart disease, and diabetes predisposes you to have heart disease. So overall, they're a deadly combination. Mm. So I would highly advise that you make sure that you check out healthby.com for some healthy articles on how to avoid that and be happy and healthy. Absolutely. But, so I'd rather, that's how you do a plug drop, Will. Do that so smooth.
Oof. So small.
All right, but anyways, two most expensive ones are diabetes and heart disease. Diabetes ends up costing $237 billion a year in medical costs. Mm. And then another $90 billion in lost productivity from missing work and other activities you could be doing. So in total, that ends up to be $327 billion. Now, according to the CDC, the average cause of heart disease, what do you think, more or less?
Average cost of heart disease for one, like one patient's cost
of heart disease. Total. How much do you think as a nation we spend on heart disease?
Oh, as a nation?
Of that 3.5 trillion.
I'm going to say 1 trillion.
Around 800
million?
Billion.
Oh, so I was 200?
Yeah,
was
so 200. Almost $1 trillion we spent on heart disease, man. Almost $1 trillion we spent on heart disease. Almost a third of that $3.5 trillion.
Now, Chris, as a doctor, what are some of the causes, really just some causes of heart disease? Like, what gives you heart disease over time?
Okay. Number one, being a man. But there's nothing you can do about that. So besides that, another one you can't do anything about is a family history of heart disease. By that, if anyone you know that's had heart disease in their like 40s or 50 or had a heart attack in their 40s or 50, it could mean your family's predisposed to it as long as they're like another bunch of cardiac conditions. That's why it's important to go to your doctor, get checked out, make sure you get screened for these conditions. So that's one thing. Those are the things you can't do anything about. What you can do about, smoking, specifically tobacco. Okay. The next one is high blood pressure. So having high blood pressure predisposes you to get heart disease.
Got it.
Next one, diabetes. Diabetes predisposes you to having heart disease. Next one, high cholesterol. High cholesterol predisposes you to having heart failure. So those are, and the last one is obesity. Obesity is like the one you can do about. So being obese, you know, BMI or body mass index, Normal is 25. Over 30 is overweight. Over 35 is obese. Having up above obese puts you at a higher risk for heart disease. So those are like a lot of the bigger risk factors that a lot of people can prevent. Eat healthy, as you said, man. But you got to pay $550 to do it around a year to do it to eat healthy. Not for that, I think you can. But I think a lot, what we did not talk about so far is that, yes, while it can prevent a lot of money, as an American, you think the American people as a whole are, as I said, like we talked about the Mediterranean diet earlier and how, like, you know, it's like a lot of fresh food. You know what I mean? Do you think America can get fresh like that? Or do you think American diet is what it is? Or do you think, you know, the Americans can change so, you know, get more Impossible Burgers? I'll let you know. I'll let you talk first, man. Like,
I think it'll have to be a process, right? Uh-huh. Just as I kind of explained in my personal journey, there was meat first, and then I was more in the Mediterranean Presbyterian track, and then I kind of let that go. So it takes time. So for the American style of food, that can be incorporated, right? Impossible Burgers at Burger King, that's a small step.
What about do you think
maybe more think, Mediterranean style restaurant, you know, focusing on those foods are popping up.
I'd like to see a ramen place with the Impossible beef.
It might be amazing.
If it's cooked up a little stir fry style, just how I like it, then I might have to give it a try.
That's what I'm saying.
Once I got that dark sauce.
I think it's absolutely doable. I think it'll take time. That's all it is. But I think Americans can change. We'll see our thoughts change about certain things, and I think we're really the generation of knowing, you know, getting information, being on the internet. And we can do research, and when you find out stuff, you're like, damn, I might want to do something different. I'll try this Mediterranean diet. Or do something.
I feel you. I just thought, as Americans, like, I'll say my answer is that, as America, I just don't think we're not the Mediterranean. Our culture's not like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not grounded.
I feel like America is, like, based around productivity and the bottom line, you know what I mean?
Of course.
And at times, people sacrifice their own happiness and their own, you know, their own health at times to get that productivity done. You think all these people on Wall, you think, as I said, allegedly, all these people on Wall Street doing cocaine at all times, you know, to be up and get the work done is healthy for you? No, but they got the work done, though, you know what I mean? Like, bottom line, that's why we tell stories about them, you know what I mean?
And then, you know, they don't tell the part of the story where your heart is also affected by that, right?
Not all the time. Sometimes you can dodge the bullet, but you got to be really good about dodging the bullet. I don't advise it, though.
This is not the Matrix.
Yeah, it's not the Matrix. Not everyone can be bullet dodging. So,
no, absolutely not.
So avoid it while you can. But it's just crazy to think that we spend almost $1 trillion in heart disease. But the reason I can tell you this, reason I know it's so expensive because it's that healthcare costs are expensive. So, Will, just to break down, I got a statistic report of the national health expenditures in 2017 highlights. So, on average, we spend about, you guys want to take sight? Well, how much on average does per person to be spent on healthcare in the United States? We spent this much money on each person in the United States in 2017 on healthcare.
You mean out-of-pocket expenses or including, like, the amount of money that our insurance...
The government spent on each person.
Maybe $1 million each person? Or I guess $100,000 each person?
That's a big jump.
I guess $100,000, I guess, is my bet.
Oh, each person on the federal government on each person... Man, I think that's a good guess. I'm going to say 75.
$75,000. You guys are crazy. You guys think we're that bad? No, it's 10,700. It's like almost 11,000.
Okay. But it's the federal government, right? So that makes sense.
Oh my gosh, you guys think we're like just diamond in like a DuckTales amount of money or something like that.
I almost guessed a million, so by comparison, I was closer.
Oh my gosh. All right, so just to let you put you into like different perspective, pretty much in most countries, for instance, in Germany, they pay about 5,700. Sweden, 5,500. France, 4,900.
Better diet.
Canada, our neighbor up north, they pay 4,800. So we are spending about on roughly
twice as much.
Not more than twice as much. I mean, compared to Switzerland, Luxembourg, and Norway, like, you know, not twice as much. Switzerland, 8,000. Luxembourg, 6,400. What's happening in Switzerland? It's getting expensive, man. They think they're too good for themselves, man. I bet they're too bringing their own britches. They think they can do whatever. I'm joking. And maybe if the Switzerland wants to let me know, I would like to know what's going on. As I said.
Well, what's going on with us? Yeah.
We spent a lot of money on healthcare. So again, according to this 2017 expenditure report, they're about $11,000 per person on healthcare. The government did. Hospital care is 33%, $1.1 trillion. Mm. How much do you think doctors, like as doctors, how much do you think, what percentage of doctor salary do you think we eat up?
Of the 1 trillion?
Yeah, I mean, no, of the percentage wise, of the 3.5 trillion.
Oh, yeah, 3.5 trillion.
What percentage do you think we eat up of it?
Percentage?
Yeah.
30. What about you, Sadie? What do you think?
I'm not sure. I guess maybe, I guess you're probably close. Maybe 20%, I'll say, 25.
About around 15-ish percent.
Oh, damn. I gave y'all way too much money.
Yeah.
I tried to give y'all.
Yeah, we're not getting much.
30.
So
I thought it was the foundation
of it. We're not eating up the salary. Then after that, it's realty. Then after that, it's drugs. 10%.
Real drugs.
And other healthcare providers, 5%. Blah, blah, blah. For the most part, it's hospital care. The hospital costs are just out of this world. You know what I mean? Yeah. So the hospital costs are by far the biggest chunk that's coming out of it. And, so pretty much. So hospital care around $1.1 trillion can be exceed up to $1.7 just by looking at it, just accounting from it. That's the most. Then besides that, it's just like a bunch of other things. Durable medical equipment, 2%. Other non-durable medical products, 2%. Mm. Other professional services, 3%. Home health, 3%. Dental services, 4%. Nursing care facilities, 5%. Residential personal care services, 5%.
Wow.
So you guys want to know about spending out of pocket, right?
Please.
Yes.
Out-of-pocket spending was 2.6%, averaging to $365 billion.
Whoa, out-of-pocket. Let's see what I'm up. Americans having to come up out those pockets, huh?
Yeah, copay. You got it. Who's got to pay me?
Oh, they're paying you? Oh, yeah.
What I mean. I'll take care of you all, though. As I said. Well, I'm sure to take care of everyone like I would my own family. That's why
absolutely.
I'm all worth
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. You're worth every dollar and more.
Yeah.
No, you're working on tax, Chris. Please
tell me about it. But anyways, with the rising health costs, stagnant wages, and overall cost of living, like as a solution, let me throw this out as a solution. I think what a solution is. I think, for instance, inside, you feel free to chime on this. I feel like a way to help inside, like say, as another way, like I think a great way for people to eat healthy, is to make sure that you know what I mean they can afford to. Like, so how do you make people afford to? Well, the best thing is just to move for somewhere you can afford to live at. You know what I mean? As I said, if a lot of people in the city, like, for instance, like, America's huge. Did you guys know, like, drop a priority? America's huge. So we have a lot of empty space where people can go and, like, you know, live. You know what I mean? Yeah. Versus being in a city, because, like, yeah, being in a city expensive. Like, everyone wants it. But as I said, everyone wants to do it. You know what I mean? But it's expensive. You know what I mean? So I think the best people can stretch their dollar is, like, living in a cheaper city. Like I said, me moving from Atlanta to Augusta, on rent, I'm spending, for instance, about $800, and that includes cable and internet. You know what I mean? It's a deal I can't beat. In Atlanta, I was paying $1,200 without anything included. You know what I mean?
It's just different because it's farther out. It's not as close to the city as you said. Yeah.
And albeit I don't have any foo-foo restaurants, but I got a Whole Foods and I got a Sprouts, dang it, and I got me a car at Publix and Kroger. I'm gonna hit the grocery section.
I'm impressed.
Thank you, sir. I'm trying to take after you, Will. You really did inspire me to try to be a little better.
Oh, man.
Just a little bit, though.
I mean, absolutely. I mean,
so what do you think? So what do you think of that? Like, for instance, like, do you think a lot of people want to, like, do you think people, like, for example, would you yourself, to save money, if you were in the position, when it came to eating healthy, would you want to live in, say it's somewhere a little bit worse than Augusta? Not to say Augusta's bad or anything like that.
But just
a little bit more rural. Let's say like it's
really rural.
Have you ever heard of a town called, let me see what it's called, DeBary?
I don't think DeBary. No, it's Georgia.
It's in Florida.
Oh no. Well, sounds like it's very rural.
It is.
I can surmise.
All right, not that. All right, not that bad. All right, Carrollton, Georgia. Would you live in Carrollton, Georgia, if you could be healthy and have more money?
Healthy and have more money.
I'll show you where Carrollton, Georgia.
Yeah, absolutely. Healthy, have more money. That's
for all those. We're from, like so said, Carrollton, Georgia is. It's fun, but
the only thing that's just gonna be the people around me. I can meet new people, but it's all about the people. Wherever you're at, you need to have the people there. So.
Right here, what in the nice settled area of West Georgia.
West Georgia. So it's about 2 hours in the city. How long until you get in the city? Because I'll pull up. I'll take an Uber, a 2-hour Uber, and just no, I wouldn't do that. I would just have to get an Airbnb or something. Oh, 50 minutes?
Huh, it's not that bad. 52 minutes.
Yeah, well, I can come in the city, man. I'm being there tonight. We'll probably get a hotel room. I can do that type
of. Okay, I got you.
But
yeah, I think you have a family, though. You got to do what's best in the family, like, which is a tough
happy, thing. Healthy. Yes. Healthy is very key.
And healthy just means,
it's Carrollton, Georgia. It's Carrollton, Georgia. Oh,
yeah. You're good, brother. But Carrollton, Georgia, yeah, I've actually driven through Carrollton myself, too, to work there for one day. It's all right. But anyway, I think people need to do eat healthy, so either they got to sacrifice something. So, a lot of people got to sacrifice.
And they're not willing to sacrifice.
So one thing I'm willing to sacrifice fairly easy is, food compared to, I get people, they can't do it easy. But I'll give them food, but other things I can't do. Like for instance, I'm an anime, buff. I need to watch my anime.
That's what Chris needs
one
to feel.
Piece,
yeah.
JoJo, you know what I mean? That's, my compulsion that I got to get. You know what I mean?
Got to do it.
Everyone's got their
you
thing.
Know
you know
what
I mean?
Tick, yeah.
So, I like that. But it is, you got one off the top of your head, that's one thing you got to have or one thing you gave up. You had Lent. What did you give up for Lent again?
I was doing the Daniel Fast for Lent, so I gave up really alcohol, anything processed,
okay.
Leavened type of bread, anything with yeast. So the Daniel Fast is pretty restricted, very restricted.
Too restricted.
Really only, you maybe have some stuff with one or two ingredients. At the moment, it just needs to be certain stuff. So it was, it went by really fast. But you give up some stuff,
yeah,
you can do it. You put your mind to it, you can do it.
I think so. So that's the reason why I want to get into the whole health writing industry. I share the same story as you, Will. I said, Saeed, real quick, you want to tell him, because I used to be a big boy too, you know what I mean? I'm sorry to put you on blast like that, but I was the original. I said I was a pack of M&Ms away from 300, you know what I mean?
Crazy.
A pack, crazy. A fresh pack.
We've all been there, especially, I don't know if you played football, Saeed, but I did.
I was excited to play football.
We were the big guys.
Yeah, I mean, I was the same way. At least in my part, it was a combination of just body type with combined with really bad eating habits. You know, so when you have both of those, that's not really an easy thing to deal with. One of those has to be if you have the genetics that holds on to the weight, you got to have the dietary habits where you're not just constantly putting on the weight.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, same thing here. I think we're all built the same. Said, mesomorph, nice stocky build sort of thing. Put on, put off real quickly. Just all about diet. So I agree. Real quick, just talking about how you play football real quick, because Saeed actually did play football at Bethel.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it was just for a short time. I do think. Maybe that'll be for a later podcast to talk about sort of diet and athletics. But there are a lot of bad dietary practices that are encouraged in athletics, especially in football, because size is so important to the sport, especially if you're an offensive lineman or defensive lineman.
Oh, yeah.
And younger people
get big.
Yeah, yeah. And younger people don't have the the knowledge, and a lot of times don't have the confidence to say to an authority figure, no, I'm not going to, gain an extra 20 pounds so that I can hit 300 because you want me to be at 300.
Yeah.
That's healthy for me, you know? Just like, eat anything.
I wish I had that bravery.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely wasn't willing to tell people no. And I mean, I was concerned about keeping my weight up.
Yeah. It's there, man.
Yeah. But as I said, like you said, so you had weight loss, so you had like a little weight loss on yourself too. And I think I believe it is like anyone can make themselves do it. It's just like a lifestyle change. But I think people quitting cigarettes, you know what I mean? Like usually not going to start on the very first try, you know what I mean? It's going to they're going to keep, if you keep at it, it's definitely going to stick at some point, you know what I mean? Something's got to stick, you just got to throw it against the wall a lot of time, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Well, I think, we want to be careful about what we think the expectations are for people or how easy it is. Mm-hmm. There are times for some people, it does just click. For other folks, it can be, there are other things connected to the decisions that we're making outside of just, maybe a general lack of discipline or something like that. And especially when it comes to food. Food is caught up in a lot of things, from experiences, trauma, mental health. There are people who have food addiction. So, I wouldn't want to necessarily put it on someone, if you're not able to do it right now, that there's something necessarily wrong. Maybe there's something else that's kind of standing in the way. But each person is going to be different. Some people might be able to make that transition. And change a little bit easier and a little bit faster than someone else. Wouldn't want to put it on someone that there's, necessarily something wrong with them if they're not able to make that change as fast as somebody else.
I got you. I'm just like hoping, like maybe I just have like, I just an over expectation. Like I always expect the best out of people. You know what I mean? Like it's sort of my thing. Like I'm a man of hope, so I always expect the best out of people. And maybe I just project that people expect the best out of themselves, to be the best selves they can. But it takes work to be yourself. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, working out, like I used to love it, but I hate working out. You know what I mean? I just do it because I just don't want to get fat and I want to move and stay healthy. It's not like because I love pushing weights up and down and running in place for 30 minutes. You know what I mean?
Not necessarily.
Like, what were you saying tonight before I cut you off?
Oh, no, it's not so much about a. Wanting more for people than they want for themselves. We need to know a little bit more about the individual situation before being able to create an expectation. And that's one of the challenges that a lot of people have with health and fitness generally is that there are a lot of people who don't know enough about health, don't know enough about what it takes for them to be healthy in a very individualized and specific way. And that's one of the things that, you're trying to do with this podcast is to provide a little bit more education, a foundation that people can build off of. But you have to know enough about yourself, your body, and what your body needs, as well as maybe where you're at in regards to your mental health or not everybody believes in, the spirit of the soul, but to an extent, your spiritual health, to understand what your expectations should be in regards to
physical health. Is that like, sort of like knowing your strengths or your weakness thing, or what do you mean by that?
Well, like I said, with the, maybe food is connected to trauma or there is you have a food addiction. It's kind of unfair to expect someone to just jump on a diet and be able to, get healthy if they have a larger issue there that is, standing in the way of their health. And there are a lot of things, I mean, not necessarily mental health, but, there are some people who eat poorly because they grew up eating like that. And it's kind of hard to have somebody rewire themselves in a couple of months or even a couple of years if they've had 20 or 30 years of bad habits. So it just takes time. But I think what you're doing with the podcast and, what Will and I want to help you do is hopefully give people a strong enough foundation of knowledge that, they can build off of and use to their advantage.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm, yeah. So thank you guys for trying to help us out too. I'm just trying to give people some good facts, like, so to tell you how expensive healthcare is, how unhealthy we're eating, and how much we're having to spending on stuff like heart disease. Like, I still can't believe we're spending that much money on heart disease. $800 billion
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right.
I know open heart surgery is expensive, but how much of those cardiac thoracic surgeries going? Like, yeah.
Somebody made a hundred million. Someone's made $100 million off of surgery. Maybe
not one surgery.
No, I'm talking about their whole career. Somebody can make. Do you think it's possible? Top in your line over a 30-year career, can you make $100 million?
You have to be gross. You got to be working you got to be working yourself to the bone if you're gonna make that much money.
Okay, so 30 years, 30 minutes. Say, okay, what if you got? That means you made,
like, if you just get average like $1 million a year for 30 years,
you can make $3.3 million a year for 30 years.
If you're a good surgeon, yeah, you can. But you have to be like taking calls, just always working. But you're probably pushing like 100-hour weeks.
And to do 30 years of that is not
feasible. Oh no! If you do that, bro, I would think you're a serial killer or something like that. Like, this man murders people in his basement. I'm
saying that's how he stays sane.
Yeah, I'm not messing with this fool.
Oh, well, man. I'm saying that's just a lot of people getting paid and a lot of money spent in that area. It's crazy.
Yeah, but $30 million, yeah, so like,
we needed that information, man.
People just need to find like just a safe person to tell it to. Who better than a doctor? Like, trust me, I got your I get your best interest in mind. Like, I'm just a nice guy. Like, a little bit more about me. Like, I'm serious, bro. Like, I'm a nice guy. I'm not a pushover.
That's true.
I do handle my business like a man. But as I said, like, I do choose to spread the glory. I choose to spread the glory of God by my attitude towards others. I grew up in Jesuit high school in Tampa, Florida, and they taught me a lot about my religious basis. So shout out to my mom and dad for putting me.
Shout out.
Jesuit. And then after rides out so that I can take care of myself. So
like, and a biz, man. It's a blessing, man. You gotta continue to have that framework.
But yes, yeah, I'm Christian, Dr. Bramwell. So I also have a nonprofit called Project RAG. We also try and educate and empower kids through that. So I said Will is so also amazing. Helping. Remember when we helped the mentors and kids over at Booker T. Washington?
It's amazing. Just the be able to connect and give some time. And
you ever think you'd be back in elementary school like that if it wasn't for your own kid? I mean, not elementary school, high school. If it wasn't your own
but
kid.
But yeah, no, I mean,
it was crazy just to be like that, you know what I mean?
Because they're so young, they're so impressionable, and it's
it's so green. It's just like, oof, I could mess your life up or create it if I wanted to.
Oh my God. I'm really willing to say, like, that's like, time, it's definitely.
And then Jerome, we just gave them snaps.
An important time for them. Yeah, to be there, so
help them out with their book work, you know. Just trying to be some positive Black role models of their life. And we also had many other talks. Like, we also brought the whole crew there. Dr. Cole, my partner, podcast. He's got a podcast called Combos with Cole and a new one called Nailed It Orthopedic Surgery Podcast. I'll tell you more about it later. But Dr. Cole's working on good things among other good people, you know what I mean? Well, yeah, anything to add or say to that?
Well, I'll just say, you know, Chris is, you know, really passionate about, you know, blessing others with knowledge, with time, with energy, with resources. And so been a part of a few of the outlets that he's done that. Happy to be able to share some knowledge today. I hope, you know, between Saeed and myself, you know, people have been able to learn some things. And I know I've learned a lot from Chris and Saeed today. So I really been happy to be here and be part of the conversation.
Learned a lot from you as well, too. So just to end it out, guys, I really want you to be happy, be healthy. Make sure that you check out the sidehealthy.com for some tips and recipes and good stuff. And I'm telling you, change your diet. Change the world.
This has been Being Healthy with Dr. Chris Bramwell. Remember, listening to Being Healthy in no way creates a doctor-patient relationship. The opinions provided should not be viewed as medical advice, And remember, please consult with your doctor before making any changes to your diet or habits. Thanks again for listening, guys.